Hello, everybody. This is Wendy World Daily with Wendy Washington, and we have an amazing treat for you. We have Nikki Martin. She is a celebrity makeup artist and an entrepreneur with an exclusive booking agency.
That's right. I'm loving this. Thank you, Wendy, for having me. This is so exciting. I'm loving it.
Thank you, Nikki. How are you today?
Really good. It's a rainy day in Atlanta, but we're going to make it happen. The sun's shining on you. How about that?
Well, let me tell you, and you are glowing.
Thank you. It's my
You're glowing.
My new NARS foundation.
Oh, yeah. I love NARS.
New NARS out. So, you know, I'm trying it out. Let's see how it works on 53.
And I have a question because your eye color, you have green eyes, hazel eyes?
No, actually, so funny story. These are contacts, and they're multifocal contacts, but I can't read and I can't focus up close. So they're multifocal. It's great far away, but I have to put on glasses. This is funny. I have to put on glasses in order to read and look at things very close up. So
Well, you look amazing. You look amazing.
You know, all this happened after I got my AARP card, so I blame them for this. I blame this for this eyesight debacle, okay? I'm like, none of this happened until I signed up for AARP. Now here comes the glasses and the unfocusing.
Well, you definitely didn't have to. I have to delve into AARP. My grandmother was... she was mentioning all the benefits and all those sorts of things. But I'm saying to you, you're beautiful. So I wouldn't even know your age. I wouldn't even know if you were in your 40s. So I'm not even going to dwell into your age because you're beautiful.
Lord. Thank you, Wendy.
Yes. So we're going to start off when I met you.
Okay.
When I relocated from New York to Atlanta.
That's right.
And you had become highly, highly referred.
Yes.
In Atlanta as being one of the top makeup artists in the city of Atlanta.
Yes.
Celebrity makeup artist. And that you were basically the main person that was doing all the makeup on movie sets, music videos, and working with all the top film directors. So it's an honor because it's 2022.
Right.
And you and I are still communicating, and it's a blessing to see all the great things that you're doing.
Amen. Yeah, that was a while ago. And, you know, things have changed, but you know what I mean? But I'm still in this industry. And it's along, you know, as years have progressed, but I've learned how to, you know, manipulate and move within its parameters of everything changing. As I started my career 30 years ago with Estee Lauder, and I often tell people who are, you know, young people are wanting to get into this industry, you know, you just can't jump out and say you're a makeup artist and end up on set. You need to have the you know, the valuable learning situations that you can have when you work for a company, because every day you're just doing makeup, you're doing makeup. So I was blessed to be able to work with Estee Lauder because there wasn't many Black beauty advisors at the time. And it was a blessing to be able to work with them. I was at the counter at Macy's at Town Center. And I was the only Black chick there, actually. And it's only two of us in the entire cosmetic department. And since Kennesaw, it was changing and evolving, and a lot of Black people were moving up there, I did very well there because they would come and, you know, they see a face that's like there, so they were more comfortable coming up to me. So they moved me from Town Center. I went to Perimeter Macy's. And, you know, conquered the sales there. And then they moved me to Lenox, and Lenox was like the pinnacle. You know, if you were at Lenox, you were it, you know. And, you know, that after that, there was nowhere I could go because at the time Estee Lauder was really not promoting Black beauty advisors, and you kind of saw the handwriting on the wall. So you needed to be able to, you know, shift out of that environment into your own situation. Now, by saying that, I was listening to, you know, my parents at the time, and I thought I should have a corporate gig and, you know, have the benefits and this, that, and the other. So I started working for MCI as a financial analyst. And I did.
Wow.
Yeah, I did that for a while. And of course, it wasn't fun because I realized early on that I did not like the structured environment that corporate America brings. I don't down it, but it's just not, it wasn't for me because I realized that I was more of a creative person. So I stepped out on faith and I just said, I'm about to do this. And luckily, I'm born and raised in Atlanta. My parents were well grounded here. And my mom and dad, my dad attended Morehouse. My dad was, and my mom was at Spelman. And because of that union, you know, there was a lot of, and my father was one of the first to integrate Emory Law School. So he,
oh my.
Yeah, my dad was an attorney for the NAACP, for Nation of Islam, for SCLC. So he was a civil rights attorney back when he first started. So as a result, he made a lot of connections. And growing up, we made a lot of connections. Our family did. And he was solid and he worked with a lot of people. You know, Herman Russell, Maynard Jackson appointed him to couple of things mm-hmm. for the city of Atlanta. So luckily I grew up in a family that, you know, they made a, we had a lot of friends and my mom made sure when I was able to step out on my own that, you know, I had a clientele base that was out of this world. You know, it was already built in. And let's not even talk about the fact that I am a graduate of Benjamin E. Mays High School. And, you know, Mays is the bomb. to this day.
Now that's a private school, right?
No, actually Mays is Atlanta Public School, APS.
Oh.
And it was fairly new when I attended there and I was a product of the academy, which was math and science. And I ended up finishing high school early. And my senior year, I attended Spelman. So my mom made sure I was ready to, I've always been kind of grown before my time. So I was ready to get up out of high school and go head on over to the AU Center because I knew it was going down over there. And and so I did. I attended Spelman my senior year of high school. And because of all of those relationships and the friends and the people I know, when it was time for me to step out on my own, it was easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was really easy. My only thing was getting the word out, which basically was word of mouth. I'd had a referral-based business.
Yep, and that was how I met you, was through referral.
Yes.
And not only that, you being an Atlantan.
Yes.
You're one of the reasons, being in Atlanta, an Atlantan, is one of the reasons why I relocated to Atlanta. Because you being an Atlantan, I'm going to say that for the third time, is why I fell in love with Atlanta.
Yeah, well, you know, here, and we still have this unity. Especially in my high school, a lot of people that I talk to that are not from Atlanta, they all often say, you all still keep in contact with each other? You still? Yes. And we all patronize each other's businesses. When we find out someone does something from, it doesn't even have to be from our class. I'm class of 86. But it doesn't have to be from our class. It can be this person went to Mays. Oh, we're going to support them. Or this person went to Doug, which was actually our rival school, but we don't care about that. We're grown now. You know, now it's like, how can we help this brother and sister to catapult their business so we can make sure they're a success? That's the type of foundation we have coming up out of the Atlanta public school system. And I think that also growing up in this city where our mayor was Maynard Jackson, and we saw how he was able to unite our communities and make sure that everybody was happy. When you grow up under that regime like that, when you come up, you know, you're like, this is how we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be helping each other. It's not
absolutely,
you know, individualism. So luckily, again, coming back to my situation, I was able to take all of those relationships and turn them into a thriving business. And I do have to mention, along the way, you always meet people who have basically, you know, taken you under their wing. I had that person. And for me, that person was Maurice Beeman. Maurice and I met at a passion hair shoot for the big passion books that used to be hardbound. So much fun looking at those books. And they were so
comfy. Yeah, I love them.
And you had Sean Coates was a wonderful photographer. Ernest Washington. It was so many great photographers back then. But Sean was one that shot a lot for passion.
Yeah, because Sean was also one of my photographers.
Right.
From Maxi Waite Agency. And he was such a joy to work with.
He can light somebody. Just, I mean, you look like you're just fresh out the womb. It's amazing.
Right.
You know, he likes you, and you don't even have, you don't have to even touch up any, you don't need any retouching. Any picture he's ever taken of me, I've never had to retouch it because his lighting is amazing. But back to Maurice. Maurice saw in me something that I didn't even see in myself at the time. And he took me under his wing. We went all over the place. Maurice was, he does hair and makeup. And he mentored me, and we did all kinds of videos, and we did videos for, we were the hair and makeup team. And we did videos for Benny Boone, for F. Gary Gray, for Little X, for Billy Woodruff, all of the top guys that are now directing really wonderful shows, which is so fantastic to see their careers shift from that into, you know, TV and film. And
absolutely.
Maurice got me into makeup competitions, and that was a big thing. You know, that's a hobby that was very expensive. I'm not going to lie. It's a very expensive hobby. But the, when you win, it's just so fulfilling monetarily. And, you know, very, very fulfilling monetarily. But we had won so many that one year this company flew us to Germany, and we represented the United States in an international makeup competition in Dusseldorf, Germany. And that was such a wonderful, that was such a wonderful time. Again, we didn't place because Bush had won his second term. And, you know, you never think the political climate of your country is going to something in your life. But I got a real lesson back then about that. And I was like, well, we didn't vote in. It wasn't just us, you know. It was a wonderful experience. And we went all over the world doing all kinds of wonderful projects. And now we're both in the union, and we do a lot of, you know, projects still to this day, you know.
And then basically you end up getting involved in booking.
Yes. So I have to tell you that story. So
yeah, that's amazing.
So, you know, when we first got into this industry, the rates were phenomenal. I mean, it would be nothing for you to make between, you know, $1,500 to $2,500, sometimes maybe $3,000 a day doing an artist or just doing, you know, a video or something like that. And the money was so plentiful back then. It was just ridiculous. The record labels were just like ATMs, you know, money just flying out the door. And I was like, hey, I got that. But then for some odd reason, you know, it started looking so glamorous to people. Oh, look at the makeup artists. They're going all over the place. They're meeting this person and that person and doing this celebrity and that celebrity. And it became saturated to the point where now the rates are changing because you've got these people who now they're coming into the industry. Oh, I'll do it for you for free. Well, I can't for you for free because I bought a house at 30 and I had a lifestyle that, you know, was mirrored the money that I was making. So as a result, when these rates started changing, I had to shift gears. So
and the name of your booking agency is Power Trip.
Power Trip Entertainment, LLC.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my mother actually gave me the name of my company. We're going to lay that story at that. But it's funny. She's always been like my supporter, biggest supporter and cheerleader. And
yes.
And I remember I was with my dad and my phone kept ringing incessantly. And he's like, who's calling you? You know, who's calling? I said, well, these people are calling me because they want the manager's numbers of the people that I've worked with. They want to book them for a concert. So it was all kind of people I've worked for that I've done videos for, like Nelly and T.I. and Ludacris. And I did a Sierra one. I mean, look, it's so funny. I had to print out my sitting here. I have to look at everything so I can see Rashida and Jagged Edge and 112 and Drake and Usher. And I've done all these videos for a lot of major stars and musicians. So they would be calling me, you know, and my dad,
right.
That's intellectual property. You can't give that away. You need that's money. And he said, you need to find a way to create opportunity. That's an opportunity that's being created for you to make money. Now, remember, my father is an attorney. And at that time, he was a judge. So, you know, attorneys don't play with their money. You know, that hourly rate, you know. So he's always been a person. Make sure you get your money. Make sure you get your money. So he helped to structure my company. And I did that. And then that's how Power Trip began. And I would take the referrals that I had from, you know, the makeup and stuff. And I started letting them know, hey, you know, I'm doing this and this. But it's funny, that business took off really well, too, because I had two individuals that had been burned by someone who said they could get talent. And they couldn't. They took their money.
Yeah.
So it's funny. That's how my whole company began, is that I was almost, for lack of a better word, you know, Captain Save a Ho.
Yeah.
I saved a lot of people from bad situations that could have turned into a bad situation because back in the day, even now, some music.
And I definitely could vouch for what you're saying, because even with me, when companies or businesses would be interested in booking my talent, mm-hmm. I would chase the money like a bill collector for 6 months. And then, you know, being the fact that I kept a small trust fund, I was able to just pay my talent
right.
So they don't have to wait for a check for 6 months.
Right. And see, in this business, what was happening is, let's say you want an artist, right? And you mm-hmm. go to Joe Blow, and Joe Blow says, yeah, I can get this act for you. And you sign the contract with Joe Blow because he put a contract together. And then you sent Joe Blow the money. Well, now you don't have an artist and you don't know where Joe Blow is. So that's what was happening a lot.
Yes.
You know, when I was finding out, that was happening a lot to people and guys who were trying to just have a concert. So
yes. And then they'll, like, even when social media became prominent,
right.
They would fake post, like they're booking somebody, fake post.
And it wasn't, they would not have.
And it really wasn't it wasn't a performance. That person wasn't going to be there.
No, it was just a lie. But it's funny.
Yeah.
I've done concerts and I book artists for promoters in D.C., Nashville, mm-hmm. Miami, Jacksonville, St. Louis, Kansas City, Dallas, mm-hmm. Houston. Mm-hmm. San Diego, Seattle, gosh, all over. And Sydney, Australia. I sent Ralph.
That's amazing.
One of my clients knew an attorney in Sydney, Australia, and he wanted Ralph Tresvant. So I sent him over there. And that turned out really, really wonderful. And I've had great experiences to where the promoters will tell other people, hey, you need to call Nikki because she's, you know, she's really about her business and professional. And that's the one thing that I stress in everything I do, you know, and if I do business with other people, you know, it's professionalism, mm-hmm. act with integrity, and be honest and truthful about what you can and cannot do. If somebody
that's right.
Somebody, I'll tell them in a heartbeat, you know what? I don't think I can get that person. I said, I'm really honest, because I had a bad situation where somebody told mm-hmm. me we could get this person and it turned out to be a catastrophe. And I learned a mm-hmm. big lesson from that. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I've just been blessed to be able to really do well in makeup and in for Power Trip too. in that, you know, because I work in a spirit of excellence. That's all.
Yes.
That's all.
And are you currently in your makeup artist artistry space? Do you take on clients? Are you still taking on clients? Because I see that you're extremely busy and you're doing a lot of traveling.
So if I didn't do my clients, they'd probably tar and feather me in the town square. So, and here's the thing, my clients are the reason why I'm here today, you know, and I really love working with them. I love continuously growing and doing projects and seeing them grow in their careers and still need my services. All the way to, I'll tell you something which is funny. You know, I'm a real eyebrow person. So I have a humongous eyebrow clientele too. So I
look, I'm like, is mine okay?
Yeah, yours are good. Yours are good. So my eyebrow clientele, you know, they'll text me. I only see them like once a month because my schedule is so crazy. But it's such a beautiful thing that they've been with me for 20 years, you know, and then from there, a lot of them were in school at Spelman that I met maybe 20 years, 15 years ago. Keisha Knight Pulliam is one person. I was doing her brows at Spelman when she was an undergrad there. And it's funny, I've gone through a lot of their lives with them. I've done their weddings. I have one client, Adrienne, where her parents flew me to DC. I've done her wedding. They flew me up there again to do their son's wedding. I've done all the makeup for her maternity shoots and anniversary. So just imagine all these people that I'm in contact with. I have a huge clientele. And then I still do a lot of makeup for the local photographers here in Atlanta who hire me, you know, for their projects and stuff. So I love makeup. It's because I've realized that I have to exercise the creative and the analytical side of my brain, or else you know what I mean? I came to that conclusion about 15 years ago. If I don't do both of them, you know what I mean? It's not good for me. So I have to make sure I'm still doing my makeup space. And I'm on set of some projects, you know. Right now I'm waiting to start one on March 14th. So that'll be a 10-week episodic.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah,
that's going to be amazing. But I've worked on Stranger Things. I'll say last year I worked on Stranger Things, Woke, First Lady, and
oh my,
the other one I worked on. I got to have my notes. I'm telling you.
And First Lady is with Viola Davis.
Yes, and that's coming out in April. So that's going to be really, really wonderful. Recently, I was working on last year on Black Panther 2. So that'll be out really probably the end of this year, but I'm very excited. I was on Coming to America and the Aretha Genius series.
And with, you know, the Beauty Awards was this past weekend here. And Coming to America 2 was in the lead.
They won so
predominantly all the awards.
Yeah, there's Merck that was our department head. And Trent was... he's such a wonderful person and such a great guy. He was the department head for Queens recently. And Carol Rashid was the makeup department head for First Lady. She was phenomenal. And then Marietta was the, I forgot Marietta's last name, but she was the department head for Aretha for Genius. And it's just been so wonderful working on all those things. And I also do a lot of commercials. I do a lot of commercials.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that the commercial space is my space. I love it. I'm there one, 2, 3 days. I'm back home.
Right.
I really like commercials. So I just recently did one with Charles Barkley, and I always do his commercials and provide. I do male grooming too, because you have to be versatile. You know.
Yes, you do.
You got to be versatile. And that was fun working with Charles as always.
I'm sure.
He is a hoot. But I love it because he makes it so much fun and you don't even know how much time has. You know what I mean? He's really great. But I've really been blessed to have a really full career in life. And I can say one of the highlights of my career was doing makeup for Cicely Tyson. And
oh man.
Yeah, that was a real, I have to tell this story. I was I brought my assistant along that day. Two things happened. One, when I got to the venue, they said, she's mean. You're not going to like her. And da, 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 da. You know, I often tell people, you never listen to what somebody comes up to you and says about somebody you've not even met yet. You know, don't let that be your measuring stick when you go into the room. You take all that out your mind. Your experience with that person is different. And remember, I was telling you how I came out of corporate, right? So when I got the gig, I didn't have any casual clothes. You know, I came out of corporate, so I would come on set with pantsuits on. You know, I look like I was basically running the whole operation. Because I was dressed up. You know, I had on Ann Taylor or Banana Republic or, you know, something that looked corporate.
That's right.
I hadn't invested in those clothes yet. So anyway, it's funny. When I got there, she came in the room. We were all set up before I even started. They introduced us and stuff. And I said, do you mind if I use this as a teachable moment for my assistant? And I think it's important if you're going to be teaching someone, you ask the subject, is it okay that, you know, we do this and we kind of converse like this in front of you? So she said, oh, that's fine. That's fine. Do you know, in the middle of me doing her makeup, I was going for her eyebrow, right? And she grabbed my wrist and she said, and I thought it was something wrong. You know, I was like, oh, hell, what did I do? But she said, you know, you've given the greatest gift. I said, what do you mean? She said, you're giving your talent to somebody else. Do you know how awesome that is? Girl, I'm looking at her. She's looking at me. And then here come Maya Angelou walking in the door. I'm God and going to heaven. It's a wrap. I can leave this place. So me and my sister were up there tearing up. By this time, the two sitting in Sicily, you know, we're talking, you know, we're looking at each other like, you know, snot about our noses. You know what I mean? So it was this epiphany and this moment that I had that made me realize I'm doing this and I'm going to keep doing this, because you have these little moments in your life where you might feel like, dang, should I still be doing it? And then God will bring somebody or a situation or something to you and reinforce, no, I got you. You just keep going. I got you.
Keep going.
I was through after just telling you. I was so through. It was amazing. And then I told my dad, and that's his favorite actress. So my dad was always like, how you gonna make money being a makeup artist? You know, go to law school. And but once I did that, he called all my godfathers on the phone. You know, my daughter's doing Cicely Tyson. I said, I guess I've arrived with him too. How about that?
Yes. No, that's beautiful.
It's been an amazing journey. So now what I do is whoever I'm with and I'm doing, I take a picture and I say, and nowadays you have to ask permission, because I wish back then, you know, I had taken a picture, because it was touche to do that. You couldn't do that.
You couldn't
go on set and flash all these pictures and pull your cell phone out and taking selfies and stuff.
And that's funny that you mentioned that, because back in the day, you could not take a picture of nobody without permission.
And so that's why I got a lot of gigs too, because the professionalism. I wasn't asking for pictures. I go do what I need to do and I'm going home. Hey, okay, who has the check? Okay, I'll go see that person. And this would be me every time. Thank you so much for this time. I really appreciate this opportunity. Hope to see you soon. And I'm out the door. Not all this taking pictures. And we couldn't do that. That would have been so disrespectful back in the day. So
disrespectful.
So I missed a lot of opportunities where I could have taken, you know, pictures and with people and stuff. But nowadays, now that it's okay, I take a picture and I send it to my dad so he knows who I'm doing and he can, you know, call all his friends.
Right.
And my godfather, look what my daughter is doing today. So
that is so beautiful.
So cute. That's so cute. I love it.
And see, and I know why that you were referred, and even with working with my models, you really could have said, Well, no, they're not. You know, you're new. Your agency just opened up in Atlanta. You really could have just said no, but you embraced me with the same, you know, just embrace and love as you did with your big clients that you already had in Atlanta.
And it's funny, I tell a lot of the young people that too. I said, listen, you have to treat every situation like it's the pinnacle. This is okay. So if you're doing, if you get to do a major star, you have to make every client feel like that major star. I said, cause it's professional. It's not fair for you to give, you know, you, cause I'm telling you, I tell them this all the time. Your major stars come and go, you know, they might be with the next hottest, flyest, makeup artist that they find on Instagram nowadays. Cause that's the thing. Or you can really, you know, keep that energy with your regular, on your regular clients that you do, if you want to call them regular, I call them stars too. And they will refer you and they build your business and you have constant income coming in from all of your other artists. I said, I think
absolutely,
you know, it's really important. It's to celebrate them as much as you celebrate the more established, you know, people. And
yeah. It's so true. And that's why we have 20 plus years of, you know, friendship as well as business.
That's right.
Relationship because of that and the way that you treated me
right
from the gate.
Because you're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to treat everybody properly. You know, you treat them with respect and then vice versa. You know, you give and get, you know, integrity and respect. And I think that a lot of that is missing nowadays on sets, you know, that we need to have more classes and set etiquette and how, you know, everybody's grabbing for something. No, we all need to learn how to work as a team because it's team. We're all, you're creating this look to, you know, portray it on the screen. And it's the concerted effort of everybody to make sure
the
project looks like it does, and hair and makeup has to work together to make that happen. We can't be at odds because, you know, that's just not professional, and it makes the job harder when we already in a wonderful position. You know what I mean? You get up and do what you want. You know you.
Yeah, so that should bring everyone a sense of happiness just because of that
and togetherness. And it's really, sometimes it's kind of disheartening when you're in a situation. I recently had a situation like that where, you know, somebody was very disrespectful to me. And I actually left the show. I left. Mm. And they were racist, too. They were racist, very disrespectful. And, you know, I hate to say it like this, but I really wanted to be like, you know, I don't need to get up if I don't want to. You know,
hello.
I enjoy doing this, but I'm not going to crank up my car, get in my car and take myself to some ignorance. You know what I mean?
And that's the kind of the sad part about it, because people will treat you any type of way without not knowing,
right,
you know, your history, your work history and your legacy.
Right.
As a professional,
right,
as well as obviously you have an extensive history because you wouldn't be on that particular set.
Right.
And you know,
it's funny too. I had been, you know, recently got into the union, but you know, nobody really knows that I've been trying to get into the union for 12 years. So that's a whole nother story. But anyway,
but congratulations.
Thank you, because that was a feat. And I had actually stopped the process because I got discouraged. But again, that's another topic. But so a lot of people will see that you're just new in the union, not understanding that, well, I've been doing this for 30 years, but you know,
right.
But still, again, even with that being said, everybody should have a certain level of respect, because you can't get into the union just, you know,
get into the union.
You know, so as a result, you know, you got to know how to do things. You got to know how to do special effects. You know, I do some of that.
Yes.
Cuts and bruise. You got to know how to make somebody look ugly sometimes. You know, it's not
right
making them look cute. Sometimes they're terrible. So you got to know
right
that too. And it was a long journey. I'm not even going to lie to you. That was a long journey. And but when people see, some people will see that you are only recently, you know, a member, then they might take that as, oh, you just started makeup, so-and-so. And I have to tell them, no, I've been doing this for 30 years. Just on paper, it looks like.
Yeah. And your resume is extensive with all the billable clients that right. you've worked with.
Right.
But you made the decision mm-hmm. to go union
yes.
because you said, okay, well, union's very important now
yes.
with this new environment.
That's right.
Because, you know, that's what it is.
And
it's so
you needed that. You know, for me, it was also a sense of accomplishment. Like, I hate to start
right.
something and not finish it. And
correct.
It really was important to me to complete what the process that I started. And mm-hmm. And also, you know, union, you need, you know, hell, I'm getting older. I need. You need
yeah.
vision and dental.
Your benefits. You need your benefits.
So, and then you needed to be a part of an organization that's going to look out for you, because there's a lot of filming and here in Georgia. It's phenomenal here. You have at least, 32 projects being filmed at one time. So you need
yes.
part of a structured organization that's going to look out for your well-being. You know,
yeah, and that's why this show, Wendy World Daily with Wendy Washington, is a union show.
That's right. That's right.
SAG-AFTRA, and I'm a signatory producer,
right.
and it's also recognized by the Television Academy of Arts and Sciences.
Okay, see, we need
yes.
that kind of foundation because
absolutely
it brings a different element to the project. You know,
and it does
with you with me having the credential. You know, it's great to do all these things, but you also have to have those credentials behind you so that you know, people understand, yeah, I took this journey and this is what this journey took me to. So
absolutely
you have to treat me as such. You know what I mean?
Yes. And so moving forward into 2022, are there any projects that we can announce here on my show, or can you provide some tips to those listeners that are interested in getting a professional booking agent
okay.
or a makeup artist to take them to the next level with their brand?
So if you'd like to reach out to me, I have several ways. I have, it's funny, I did have only one IG page, but my mother was very adamant in making me understand that, you know, you need to separate this thing because you got to let people know it's this and this and this. So anyway, so Nikki Martin, N-I-C-K-E-Y Martin is one of my IGs. The other one is Nikki Makeup, which again is N-I-C-K-E-Y. That's also my website, NikkiMakeup.com. And then my, you know, I had to look up my Power Trip one. So my one for IG for Power Trip is PowerTrip_Entertainment_LLC. That's what that one is. And I was reading something somebody was sending me. So if you want to, if you're looking for makeup artistry or any tip, you want to find out how to get into the industry, anything, serious inquiries only, you know, I'm not answering what's the best lip gloss. I mean, come on. We're talking about career driven questions. Okay.
Absolutely.
And also under Power Trip, I book all kind of artists. I booked, even during the pandemic, I made money because a lot of organizations that I booked for were doing virtual conferences and conventions. And I booked everybody from Frankie Beverly Mays to Eric Benet and Alex Bouillon and Howard Hewitt, Kiki Wyatt, gosh, I can't even think of everybody that I...
That's amazing. That's a lot of people.
Whispers and Cool in the Gang and Commodores. And it's been a lot of people. I've done a lot Anthony Hamilton, I booked him too. So, and it doesn't matter who it is. If I can get to him, I'll be honest with you and tell him, yeah, I can do it. I also book public speakers for organizations like the Urban League and NAACP. I booked Dr. Bernice King. I booked, what's the other little guy's name? I forget, you know, I always forget people. But also I've done makeup for a lot of folks, Shirley Caesar, Neil Harper, Jamie Foxx, one time before, Cicely Tyson, Sheila E., Charles Barkley, Shaq. Look, I got to look at my... I used to do Candy's makeup for the first three seasons. And mm-hmm. I went to something.
Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Atlanta, that's right. Essence Atkins, I've done her a lot. Leandra Johnson, who is one of the top gospel artists.
That's amazing.
Ashanti. And I've done a lot. Oh, Samore. I've done Samore's makeup. And she's actually a friend of mine. She's so sweet. We met each other when she was at Mars Brown. And I was at Spelman at the time. And I've done a lot of commercials with major corporations, Georgia Lottery, Jeep Cherokee, Adidas, Foot Locker, Dick's Sporting Goods, Capital One, Bank of America, Walmart. And it's funny, Wendy, when you're reading over all the stuff that you've done, you really don't, like for me, I did a Visa commercial. I forgot about that. Gatorade, you know, in NCAA, I did one of the best things during Super Bowl here in Atlanta. EA Sports had a huge event, and I did Angela Yee and for an event they had at State Farm Arena. And they were on a virtual with everybody who could not attend this big conference.
Right.
It was Luda and 2 Chainz. But EA Sports, they got a hold of my information from another producer that I had worked on a commercial with. And the lady called me and she's like, can you come? Of course I can. Can I? That was,
yeah.
I did a lot of makeup for projects they were having associated with the Super Bowl. They have a lot of, and you know that too, just from the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Just leaving LA. They have a lot of events around that whole event that is.
They sure do.
A lot. And I did a lot of makeup during that weekend, which was wonderful for major corporations, you know.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah, because that's also when Maxi Wade Agency launched, was during actually NBA All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
And I launched at Phipps Plaza. They closed Phipps Plaza for me to have my whole event there. And Biz Markie and Spinderella were the DJs. And it was sponsored by Moet.
Yeah.
When Moet first came out.
Yes.
With Ciroc. You know, by LVMH. So that was exciting.
Wasn't it fun back in the day when you could?
Yes, it was.
Sponsor. I remember I did a big event there was a restaurant at Lenox, and it was with the NBA All-Star, and it was Anthony Anderson, and they had a cigar room in there. So I had that set up for interviews and stuff. And there was a big, that was a huge, that's, let me tell you, I often tell young people the money that was flowing through the industry back then. I mean, it would be nothing for you to go to Crown Royal or go to Moet or go to, you know, these different companies, and you would get $50,000, $75,000, $100,000 to do your event before you even had anything. Now, when people come to me because I book artists and stuff, they also want me to plan their event. So I also, I'm also a concert promoter too, where I do everything from conception to inception. So everything in between there, I do it. But I was saying that to say the money used to be flowing so well, but then you had so many people that abused it. That now you have to, in order for you to get any sponsorship like that, you have to already have the vendor contract, and you have to already have the artist contract. And they want all that in the proposal that you're sending to them for an app.
Correct. At the time when Moet, before they were bought by LVMH, Jackie Lee was my rep.
Jackie Lee.
Yes.
I don't know Jackie personally, but you know.
Yeah. Jackie. She handled my brand.
Okay.
And that was a blessing. And I also just at the end of the day, you all were just so good to me.
Because, yeah. You know, it's funny. We want to see you win. You know, that's
yes.
what our generation does. Want to see you.
Yes.
You know, it's not about this cutthroat. Let me do what I need to do to get ahead. And,
you see this.
Right. And just, you know, just run over people, including my own mama. I just think it's so terrible, the type of attitude that's out here and the energy nowadays. It's very disheartening. But I stay on my frequency because it's what
yes.
You know what I mean? And I don't believe in that kind of that way of doing business. But camaraderie, we're all about community. You know, we want to make.
Yeah, and collaboration.
Collaboration, because that's the only way you stay in, you stay successful in this world. You can't operate like you're on an island by yourself. It's not going to work.
Absolutely. It's not going to work.
You got to have a village. You know what I'm saying? And it's funny, my village is full of people that's not even in this industry. But because they are so, you know, I tell them what I'm doing, they're so proud and happy for me. It allows me to move on and be energetic about what I'm doing, because I know my family and my friends are proud of what I'm doing. And
yeah, and I'm definitely one of them. Yeah. And that's why I'm so excited that you had the time.
Yes.
You know, to have this conversation with me and to share your story.
Yes.
Because it's a story and it's legacy, it's history.
Thank you.
And it's a marathon and not a sprint.
It's not a sprint. And this is what's funny. I want to explain something. So we're in my office right now, and you all see the pictures of Tina Turner in the background. Tina is one of, it's the pinnacle for me. Okay. So when you know her story, you see how much she overcame, you see how much she's a survivor. When I come into this office, there's nothing but pictures of survivors in my office, and survivors who've taken their trials and turned them into triumph. So when I come in here, I'm ready to work. You know what I mean? I'm ready to go. Along with that, it's pictures of where I've been around the world. I've been to Tokyo. I've been, some in Costa Rica. There's so many places I've been. So I once you step into this room, it's a cornucopia of good energy, high frequency, you know. And then this is one of my favorite entertainers up here. I see her smiling.
That's so beautiful. And you know what? Because I was gonna ask you, I was gonna mention Tina. I love your pictures that you have. I didn't know if you had done her makeup or if you probably worked with her.
Well, I went.
But it's beautiful.
So these came from the program that I bought. From the concert that I attended that she had here in Atlanta the first time she came. And I took the whole program to a friend of mine, and they were big pictures like this. You know, they had the big programs back then. They were so, wasn't that so wonderful? Like back then,
yeah.
Everything was bigger, brighter, better. But anyway, so I took the program to my friend who frames, you know, and she took them out. And I know, you might know her too. Did you ever know Sheila Turner? So Sheila was the photographer. I don't know if you knew her or not, but Sheila.
No, I don't
like
know.
This. So Sheila passed from breast cancer, and she was in fact, Sheila gave me my first shot at a professional corporate photo shoot. She gave, and a lot of her work was commissioned by the city, and it was in the airport. And in different city buildings across town, Sheila was well respected. Her lighting was phenomenal again, and she was also my sorority sister. So it was so sad, you know, when she. But I have some of her photos in here that we did together that I had blown up and framed. So I tell people, you know, when you're doing these jobs and now you take so many pictures, don't just let your picture sit in the phone. take your pictures and get them blown up, get them framed, you know, so you have a visual representation that you can look at that's going to be inspiring to you.
Just, absolutely.
People have thousands of pictures in their phones, you know, of wonderful situations.
I'm guilty.
Listen, I have Shutter. What do you call it? Shutterfly? Is it Shutterfly or Shutter? Whatever it is, it's one of these apps and you make your own books. So everything that I've done, I have a ton of books downstairs in my family room.
That's beautiful.
And I make my own books because you want to have a physical representation. When you're not here and you're gone, where's your physical representation of all the
absolutely
in your life? You know, you gotta, I actually love doing that too. That's one of my hobbies.
Yeah. Cause I have collectors. Like I'm a collector, an actual collector. Like when I worked for Vanity Fair magazine. Ooh. And so I have plenty of those magazines because I was in the masthead.
Right.
So, and it's history, just like the Hollywood issue that's happening right now.
Okay.
And yeah. And I made two issues of masthead. Yeah.
See, and see,
yeah,
you got to frame those things.
I do. Yeah, I do. I'm so guilty. So I think offline, I think that's one of the things that you're going to say, put this in frame?
Let me make you laugh. I'm going to pull out something for you. I know I'm going to go off camera in just one second, but this is a great representation of what I do for me. Okay. So this is when I turned. I had this done. Sean Cole.
Oh my.
Sean took this photo. And what I had a party. I had a birthday party. And I blew this picture up and I let everybody sign who attended my birthday party.
Now, have you posted that on your gram? Oh my God, wait.
This was what, 4 years?
That is beautiful.
You. So I do fun stuff like this to make life interesting. You know what I mean?
That's beautiful.
And I've only worn this dress like, now you can only wear stuff like once. I feel like I'm a celebrity because now once you post that you wore this dress, you can't really wear it anymore.
You can. You literally have to have your own closet to sell those pieces.
I'm one of those persons. I'm like, I want to get the most out of this dress.
Oh yeah, that dress, honey, is something.
That dress,
you did that. Yes.
Something on that. And that's the funny.
Oh my.
I didn't even plan that. I bought that dress at a boutique in Miami. It was like $99. You know what I mean?
Oh my.
Boutiques that's like,
yes.
Yeah, one of them boutiques.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely have to check my online boutique. I have some great pieces on Fashion Restock. I'll tag you.
Yeah,
oh man, you listen. I got an amazing online boutique.
I got now that we're back kind of doing stuff, I just booked the talent for Ambassador Andrew Young's 90th birthday party on March
12th. Oh my God.
So, right. So now I've got to get a dress.
Got to get ready.
And wear the same one I wore for the mayor's.
Do you know how big that is?
I know, isn't it? And it's funny. They call me up and, I was like, yeah, I can get who you need. And they told me who they needed. Mm-hmm. And I got them for them. And it's going to be a celebration.
That's going to be a celebration. I wish I was there.
It's going to be real.
Because, you know, he and his brother late attorney Charles Mathis hosted my birthday party in 2006 at Justin's.
Charles was such a wonderful person.
Yes.
I mean, every room he came into, he just lit it up. He was so much.
Yeah, he was one of my mentors. Yeah. He and Cindy, they were family. They were like family to me when I was in Atlanta. Like all of you were, actually. You guys Atlanta's finest just, you know, grabbed me up and made sure I was good.
And, you know, we have to do more of that. Mm-hmm. I'm I'm so happy that we have a new mayor, Andre Dickens, and Andre is.
Oh, that's congrats on that.
Yes, Andre is a great guy. I've been knowing him for a while through my friend that passed, Cabrel Franklin, who's Sheriff's son, and I met Andre through Cabrel and his sisters, and Andre has always been a solid guy. We just. Looking forward to Atlanta, kind of, you know, getting back to One Atlanta, which is the slogan that he has come up with, One Atlanta, which is really.
Yeah, because let me tell you, that's one of the reasons why I was going to, because, you know, I own property in Atlanta.
Right.
And that was one of the reasons why I gave up my places, because I was like, I was good, because it wasn't the reasons why I relocated from New York to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And so my last place was at, you know, Residences of Buckhead.
Right.
And I was just gonna keep it, you know, have a sublease, but I was over it. And I love Buckhead Chops and that area. But I was just like, it's not the Atlanta that I fell in love with anymore.
Yeah. And we all so know that. So we're glad that he's at the helm now. And he's doing some wonderful things. And we're coming back the way Atlanta.
Yeah, I definitely look forward, you know, to coming back more, because I love Atlanta.
No.
I do.
And it's great here for film and TV, though.
Yes, it is.
It's done a lot.
Yeah, because I was there in July shooting that film, which is coming out in March, April, Lola 2.
Okay.
I was there in July. A feature film that I'm in.
Okay. And
that
going around, we even have another studio that's going to be opening up that I forgot the lady's name, but it's actually going to be black female.
Yeah, well, I love Atlanta.
Yeah.
I really do. I'm telling you, I've met some very great people and families,
yes,
and friends I love you all so much.
And it's, you know, it's about the network that you built here. You know what I mean? And the network is, we're still here. We're still doing our thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You see me circling back to my loved ones, honey. Like I want my Atlantans, my friends that supported me. Just throughout all these years, 20 plus years. And I, you know, that's why we're in this interview right now.
That's right. Well, I sure appreciate this time too. And thank you.
Yeah, the love.
Opportunity. This is wonderful. You don't know how much you've done till you sit down and talk about some things, you know, and it's very refreshing. You get motivated even more.
Yeah, we really do. And I'm motivated even just staying connected.
Yes.
Staying connected. Cause you never, I'm going to say this, like some people feel like, oh, once they leave a place and then they forget.
Right.
Or for me, I can't let go of those people that have been good to me.
That's right.
And living in New York, living in Atlanta, you know, like I just could never let go of those people, because we've really uplifted each other in our prospective careers in this industry.
That's right.
Because we'll always need each other with our platforms to keep each other uplifted and to move forward and to become global.
That's right. And that's what it's about. That is right.
Yeah. So you want to let everyone know where they can find you on your personal page again, so we could round back.
So on IG, you can look me up at Nikki Martin, N-I-C-K-E-Y Martin. And on that page, right under, you know, my picture, you can see Nikki Makeup and then the Power Trip Entertainment link as well. So everything is on my main page, Nikki Martin. And I look forward to hearing from some of you and some of you who need some entertainment for any event you're doing. It doesn't matter. Birthday party, it could be a big concert, small concert. I'm actually planning a 10-year anniversary party for a pediatric office. And they're going to do it at Fernbank. It's going to be really nice.
Oh,
looking at their talent and their DJ for that. So it could be some.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, but I love being a part of these kind of projects, big or small. It makes me real happy to do that. Yeah.
And serious inquiries, please.
Please. If I'm not looking at the date, and don't send me nothing about our use. I'm so tired of that. You know, I'm not meeting anybody online. Okay, it's supposed to, I might miss the person. That might be
right.
Supposed to meet them. If it is, I'm going to miss them totally.
Well, I'm going to say this. If it's the right one, then he's going to do it the right way.
But the right way. That's right.
It's not going to be through the DM.
Right. Like, oh, you're beautiful.
Yes,
I'm very busy doing beautiful things.
Yeah, it's gonna be the right way.
That's right.
Yes. And thank you, Nikki, so much for coming on Wendy World Daily with Wendy Washington. Thank you so much.
And you enjoy the rest of your day.
And I really enjoyed, hearing your story. And then also being embraced by you at a time when I was coming into Atlanta and needed the support.
That's right.
And you gave it to me.
Thank you. Oh, it's my pleasure.
Yes. And now we're closing, everyone. And thank you for joining us today and chiming in on Wendy World Daily with Wendy Washington. And we're going to hold Nikki. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining Wendy World Daily with Wendy Washington. See you next time. Bye. Wendy World Daily with Wendy Washington is Monday through Friday for 15 minutes every morning, exploring and introducing Hollywood's most trending topics to interviewing creative influencers and celebrities. I will be living a world daily of entertainment, fashion, beauty, and lifestyle. I can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and all other podcast platforms. So make sure to subscribe and be ready to download Wendy World Daily with Wendy Washington. I look forward to seeing you there.